From the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Chesapeake Bay, Virginia is a mecca for outdoor travel and adventure. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast is the ultimate guide for local outdoor recreation, including hiking, camping, kayaking, and so much more. Get the information and the inspiration to plan your own adventure right here in Virginia. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. Discover the faraway nearby of Virginia's wild landscapes in an intimate conversation with Senator Tim Kaine, who shares his introspective journey traversing 1,200 miles of our Commonwealth by foot, bike, and canoe. His story is an invigorating blend of history, nature, and community, as well as personal challenges that have enriched his life and helped him stay grounded as a public servant. Senator Kaine's humorous recollections, including his trail name Dog Bowl and his affectionately named canoe Old Raggedy, add a lighthearted layer to his profound reflections on a life outside. We discuss how his new book, Walk, Ride, Paddle, is a love letter to Virginia and a call for all of us to connect with nature. Let's go. The James River Association, originally founded in 1976, is the only nonprofit in the James River watershed solely committed to protecting the James River and connecting people to it. More than one-third of all Virginians rely on the James River and its tributaries for water, commerce, and recreation. JRA protects our river through watershed restoration and advocacy programs, and it connects people to our river through environmental education, community conservation, and guided river trip programs. Learn how you can be a James Changer. Explore, support, volunteer, and discover by clicking on James River Association in the show notes of your listening app. Thinking about taking on the Virginia Nature Triathlon? Far Out's new guide is a must-have for your epic adventure. Far Out is the number one navigational app for long-distance hiking, biking, and paddling trails. Far Out provides detailed trail info and works offline, but what I appreciate most about Far Out is that it's reliable. I can trust Far Out to provide the information I need to keep me safe and on track in the backcountry. Get ready to tackle 1,200 miles of the Virginia Nature Triathlon with Far Out's brand new guide inspired by Senator Kaine's personal journey and recounted experiences in his book, Walk, Ride, Paddle. The Virginia Nature Triathlon guide will be available in your Far Out app starting April 26. Click on Far Out Virginia Nature Triathlon in the show notes of your listening app. Senator Kaine, welcome back to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Jessica, it's great to be with you again today.
This is your second guest appearance on Virginia Outdoor Adventures. You joined me in 2022 to share your experience hiking 559 miles on the Appalachian Trail from Harper's Ferry to the Tennessee border, then cycling 321 miles of the Blue Ridge Parkway and Skyline Drive, and finally paddling 348 miles of the James River from the Alleghenies to the Chesapeake Bay in a journey you have named the Virginia Nature Triathlon. After your first guest appearance on this podcast in 2022, the overwhelming response that I received from my listeners was, I had no idea our senator was so outdoorsy. How has your connection to the outdoors affected you personally and as a public servant?
Jessica, it has been an exciting journey, and I really give credit to my parents, Boy Scout Troop 395 at Curievars Catholic Church, and a middle school shop teacher, Joe McKenzie, for really getting me into outdoor activities when I was a kid. It has been a real passion of my life ever since I was maybe 12 or 13 years old. I married my wife, Ann, and she's every bit as much into the outdoors as I am. So that's been a great part of our 40 years of marriage. And then we have three kids, and they were all intense by the time they were 6 months old, and all as they are as different as can be. But a unifying theme for all of them is a deep love for outdoors. So it has been a constant in my life. You know, I moved to Virginia in 1984, knowing one person, my wife, Ann, and this book that I've written is sort of a love letter to Virginia, but a real celebration of how unique the Virginia, you know, spectrum of natural assets and physical beauty is. And I realized sort of at the end of it all, hey, you know, this is really a love letter to the place that I've called home for the last 40 years. So it's hard to summarize how much it's meant to me personally. My outdoor engagements is just part of my bloodstream. And in terms of public life, it pushes me toward priorities and projects. When I was governor, it was, can we preserve 400,000 acres of open space? When I was on city council and mayor, what can we do to restore the James River and really reclaim it as the city's front porch and reason for existence rather than as a sewer where we just, you know, dump things out of factories? And now in the Senate, working on funding for national parks or wilderness area legislation or preserving battlefields. I think my time in the outdoors has made me an intentional steward and advocate for environmental causes and open space.
Your new book, Walk, Ride, Paddle, A Life Outside, is a love letter to Virginia. I really enjoyed this book. What compelled you to write it, and what do you hope readers will take away from your story?
Jessica, so the origin of the book was I turned 60 in my campaign year in 2018, and I like to mark milestones. But I knew I couldn't do anything that year because the campaign was so intense. And I thought, well, after the campaign, I'll be on the verge of 25 years in elected office. 2019 was my 25th anniversary of my first city council race. So why didn't I think of something to celebrate turning 60 and 25 years in public life? I didn't really know what it would be, but I just kind of held it out there as I'll think about it after the election. And after the election, it formed very quickly in my mind to create an epic Virginia quest, do it and write about it. My brother and sister-in-law live in near Syracuse, New York, and New York has this thing called the 46ers, where there are 46 peaks in the Adirondacks that are higher than 4,000 feet. And New York families often tackle this as a bucket list issue. My sister and brother-in-law did all 46 of them with their kids. Ann and I joined them for a couple. And I thought, I'd like to create something like this that would be the Virginia equivalent. What would it be? And it just kind of sprung into my head. Walk the Appalachian Trail. More miles of the trail are in Virginia than in any other state. So walk the 560 miles from Harper's Ferry to the Tennessee border. Bicycle along the Blue Ridge Parkway and Skyline Drive from the Virginia North Carolina line north to Front Royal. And then canoe the whole James River from Iron Gate up in Allegheny County all the way to Fort Monroe in the Chesapeake Bay. And it just, that kind of seemed like that would be the equivalent of like the 46ers. And I just decided I'm going to call this a thing. I'm going to do it. It's going to take me a while. That's okay. Senate recess weeks, weekends, senators usually travel around their state by car or by RV. I'll do it people powered, and I'll encounter folks along the way and gain a deeper appreciation for Virginia's natural beauty. So that was the origin of the trip. And then the origin of the writing is I just kept a tiny journal each day. You know, I'd pick up my cell phone at the end and I would write maybe 100 words, you know, from here to here, ran into the guy with the funny story. I saw a black bear. The rain was awful, but you know, then I saw a rainbow. I mean, it would be 150 words, but then in the winter between the segments, sitting at my little, you know, kitchen table in my condo in DC after the last vote of the day, I'd pull out my iPad and I would write up last summer's trip and then plan for next year's. So it took me about 30 months from start to finish, but the planning was fun, the doing was fun and challenging, and the writing was truly enjoyable.
Well, I connected with your book immediately because there are so many places in Virginia you visited that I've been to too. So as I was reading the book, I was thinking, I've visited that town. I've slept in that shelter. Yeah. I know that section of trail. So I think probably listeners are really going to connect those people who have been on the Appalachian Trail, especially, or who have traveled down the Blue Ridge Parkway, Skyline Drive. The James might be a little tougher for some folks, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. Yeah. But before we do, I just wanted to say this book is based off the journal that you just mentioned, which you kept on each of the 76 days of your journey covering 1,200 miles. So what did this reflection process reveal about yourself and about Virginia?
It was, as you know from reading it, each day's segment is not just the journey of the day. It's often a little bit of the natural and human history of the place. It might be memories of earlier trips with my wife, Ann, and kids or friends in that place. It was conversations that I was having with passersby or companions. But then it was also a lot of times just solitude. What am I thinking about? And, you know, Jessica, when I started, and this became a much bigger part of the writing than I would have imagined. I didn't know that between the start and the finish, I would be a juror in two impeachment trials in the Senate. I would be barricaded in the Capitol when it was attacked on January 6th. That I would have COVID and then long COVID. We would be living through racial justice protests in the aftermath of George Floyd's murder in the spring of 2020. All of those things, I didn't know when I started that the journey would coincide with all of them. And so I think I learned some things, you know, in terms of myself, I learned some things about kind of survival skills and the ability to tolerate long stretches of solitude. I consider myself kind of an introvert, but I've never done this much time just purely by myself. And, you know, there's some anxiety about that. And not only like, will something happen to me, but even just kind of loneliness when you're for multiple days, not even seeing another person. So I kind of had to learn how to do that and reached a point of comfort with it. About Virginia, the unifying, I hope readers get this out of this, the unifying nature of Virginia's natural beauty. You know, we live in a divided time politically, but Democrat, Republican, Independent, people who could care less about politics, everybody has this favorite place in Virginia, a trail, a sunset, a beach, a lake that they like to go to, a river they like to fish in. Everyone has a place that's special to them. And everyone is invested in trying to make sure that it's there for their kids and their grandkids. And that's such a unifier. You know, when you're on the trail with people, you're not talking about politics. You're not talking about, you know, events of the world necessarily. You're talking about the joy that you're taking and the surroundings that are so powerful. So that was something about Virginia and Virginians, the unifying nature of our natural beauty and how it brings people together. And then look about the nation, you know, the same thing about our natural beauty. But, you know, I also had to grapple with the tough realities of what does it mean this moment in time with impeachment trials and the attack on the Capitol and COVID and long COVID? What do all these things mean? How do I put it into some perspective? To develop those thoughts, you need time. You know, we rush around a lot, and rushing around is not conducive to reflection. But being out on the trail for a day or paddling for a long day is conducive to reflection. And it helped me, I think, gain some perspective and understanding of the, frankly, unusual times that we're living in.
Looking to escape the hustle and bustle of everyday life? Look no further than the inviting rivers and trails of Campbell County. Located just south of Lynchburg, Campbell County is a hidden gem in the heart of Central Virginia. What I love most about Campbell County is the easy access to both the James and Stanton Rivers. It's a paradise for river adventures. My favorite way to explore the water is by leisurely floats and paddles on the James River from downtown Lynchburg to Campbell County. If you're a nature lover like me, the undeveloped shorelines of the Stanton River provide abundant birding and wildlife watching opportunities. Thrill seekers can conquer the exhilarating Fish Trap Class 3 Rapids and Cat Sluice Rock Class 2 Rapids. Fishing enthusiasts can try their luck on the bountiful Stanton River, which can produce trophy-sized catches of striped bass, while catfish can be well over 50 pounds. If you prefer to stick to dry land, mountain bikers will enjoy the challenging trails along Candler's Mountain. For a gentler adventure, relax to the sounds of nature along the riverside trails of Long Island Park or English Park in Alta Vista. Experience the outdoor beauty of Campbell County while participating in the world's largest high-tech treasure hunt, geocaching. Download the digital GeoTrail Passport and begin your adventure seeking out 20 geocaches placed in locations that will immerse you in fun, authentic Campbell County experiences. Earn custom gold coins for finding all 20 caches. Splash, explore, relax. Click on Visit Campbell County in the show notes of your listening app to plan your Campbell County getaway. From the beginning, you had doubts about your ability to complete the Virginia Nature Triathlon, as well as fear. You talked about fear of not completing the challenge, fear of injury, of embarrassment, and you also encountered several setbacks along the way. What kept you motivated, and what advice would you offer anyone who is unsure about taking on any outdoor challenge?
Jessica, the first thing I would say is, you know, take it in small bunches, because I think I did have a lot of anxiety about, I told people I was going to do it. Then once I'm doing it, it's like, this is going to be too hard. I don't think I can do this, but I'll embarrass myself. Well, why can't I just do day hikes? That's just as good. So, I mean, I had a lot of that voice in your head kind of trying to talk you out of it. But at some point, I realized it's not a race. I'm not trying to do it in any particular time. If it takes me longer than I thought it was, that's okay. So I would say to anybody grappling with fears of outdoor experiences is do a day hike, you know, then do a single overnight. And then I bet you're going to find you're kind of hooked. You know, you'll do the day hike and you'll want to do another one. You'll do the single night overnight and you'll want to do two nights. You'll do a segment of biking along the Skyline Drive and you'll think, wow, that was so beautiful. I want to come back and do it next weekend. The river trip was maybe the hardest, the most surprising. The pieces of the river I had not done. I didn't have any, you know, kind of basis of comparison. And yet, the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources or Natural Resources makes it relatively easy by all the public boat accesses they build. So if you don't want to canoe the whole James River, I have all of these segments where put in the boat here and take it out there. And here's what you're going to see along the way. Just do it for one day. And that's how I would suggest anybody who has outdoor anxiety, just plan a day trip and see what you think. And I know what you're going to think. You're going to want to come and do more.
I will tell you that some of my listeners messaged me after you first came on the show, and they are taking on the Virginia Nature Triathlon.
Yes.
Yeah, there are a few people who are planning it, and I'm getting a lot of questions from them too. And the majority of the questions are about the James River portion of it. You know, most of these folks are experienced hikers, cyclists, but the river portion scares some folks. And you had a very strong support network of family, friends, and even staff who helped you along your journey. So do you think the Virginia Nature Triathlon is a realistic goal for someone who doesn't have the same support that you had?
Yes. So I didn't have staff do much. I mean, I had one staff member, my chief of staff, joined me for 2 days on the river because, you know, he's an outdoor guy too. So why not? But I do have a lot of friends. I have two kind of outdoor groups. There's a neighborhood group in Richmond that I've hiked with for years, and they love canoeing, hiking, cycling. And then I have a law school group that I've done outdoor adventures with for years. And then my wife and kids are also into the outdoors. So while most of the hike was, 2/3 of the hike was by myself, the bicycle trip was with a group of guys. We were reprising a trip from 25 years ago. And the canoe trip, most of the days I had somebody in the front of the boat with me. But the river trip was hard. There are three challenging sections. There's a section above Lynchburg that's Balcony Falls, which is an pretty intense whitewater section. But then there's seven dams that basically back the James River up over the course of 27 miles into a set of lakes. And even just getting your boat in the water in that stretch is hard. When you get it in the water, it's a lake. I mean, it's not hard to paddle in it, but getting river access is hard. So that's a challenge, Balcony Falls in the dam section, to try to figure it out. But if you read my book, I'll tell you how to do it. I could get you there. The whitewater through the through Richmond, the fall line of the James, I switched out of a canoe and went with a friend who is a really good rafter. My canoe skills are not good enough for that intense a whitewater. The boat would just take on too much water and sink. But commercial raft guides run trips through the fall of the James, so you could do that. And, you know, leave the driving to a professional. And then the other stretch that in some ways was the most surprising, fun, challenging, was the tidal section of the James below Richmond, which I had never canoed in. And my boat felt very, very small. When the river goes below Richmond, it starts to get really wide. By the time it's in Hopewell, it's a mile wide. By the time you get to Newport News, it's 5 miles wide. And then you go out into Hampton Roads, it's 6 or 7 miles wide into the Chesapeake Bay. You have ocean going barges, you have carriers and subs, you have wind, you have tide. You feel very small, but by the same token, you're wearing a life jacket, you know how to swim. If something happens, you can hug the shore. And if something happens, you're not far away from the shore. So it seems kind of frightening. And I did have, particularly on the last day when I was trying to finish into Fort Monroe, and there was a southeaster, which was a really intense storm right in our face. I was with my son, and we switched from the canoe into a seagoing kayak, which the canoe would have swamped immediately. The kayak, we could do it. There were some, yeah, there were some intense moments, but there's not a single stretch of this that you can't do. You can do it. I loved that I might have been the first person to do it. When you interviewed me, I had written up a little article saying, I think I'm the first person to do it, but if I'm wrong, tell me if you've done it. And no one has come up to me in the 2 years since saying, no, I actually did that before you did. So I'm happy that I might have been the first person to do it. And to hear that some are making it, you know, kind of a, let me do this, like the New York 46ers. Let me just try to do this over a period of time. I even have a secret dream that I've revealed to no one until you, that somebody might decide to turn it into a race and actually do it like an Ironman triathlon and have the really great athletes do it. That it would be intense. I mean, 1,228 miles is intense, but at some point somebody might try to do it and, you know, really turn it into like one of the most intense, you know, Ironman challenges on the planet Earth.
Oh, I believe it. In fact, I'm just waiting for it. Someone's going to do it. Everybody turns everything into a competition.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad I held the speed record at least for a while since I was the first, but it will be eclipsed by anyone else who does it.
That's right. And the river is completely different worlds from one end to the other, like you mentioned.
Yes.
And I believe the James River Association has some really great resources on their website too, for anybody who's looking for information on the different sections of the river.
The James River Association was so helpful because they basically have very good maps for the three sections, the Upper James, the Middle James, and the Tidal James. And those turned out to be really helpful for, you know, planning where to put the boat in, where to take it out, where places to camp. James River Association, Appalachian Trail Conservancy on the trail, and then the National Park Service for the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Shenandoah National Park where the Skyline Drive is. Really, really important resources.
Yeah. And I'll just mention for a second that you have included a lot of these resources in the back of your book. And I believe that your website, walkridepaddle.com, also has some of these resources listed too. So I just wanted to make sure we plug that.
Well, and also I'm proud that Far Out, which used to be Guthook, the great trail mapping company, they are marketing a map called the Virginia Nature Triathlon that they are doing in tandem with Walk Ride Paddle. And information about that map is also available at walkridepaddle.com.
That's going to be great. In fact, I've already messaged my listeners who told me they were doing the Virginia Nature Triathlon to tell them that Far Out has this coming out. So they're all excited about it too.
Hey, Ken, one thing that I also just want to say about the Virginia Nature Triathlon, you know, I love travel literature. A lot of travel literature is about the exotic place halfway around the world that the reader may never go to. But you love reading about it because you're getting a window into something that you don't know. But I think travel, I use the phrase the far away nearby, which is a title of a painting of Georgia O'Keeffe's that I really love. I think there's a lot of good travel and exploration and even travel literature to be written about the journeys that are closest at hand that we may not take because we take them for granted. And I loved that aspect of writing this up is that, yeah, it's a travel book, but it's about the far away nearby, not about the distant travel.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, that is what Virginia Outdoor Adventures Podcast is all about, introducing
all about
folks to what's right here in their backyard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Senator, as a former educator who has taught Virginia history for many, many years, one thing that I really enjoyed about your book is that you have woven stories of Virginia history all throughout the book. How do these stories of Virginia's past impact casual outdoor recreationists?
I think it may inspire you. Some of these stories will inspire you, like the story about Frank Padgett, the boatman who saved everybody's life in this horrible tragedy in Balcony Falls in the 1850s. I mean, here he is, an enslaved person who is a master of the bateau and the river boats, packet boats of the day. And this trip in flooded conditions on the James in January, where the weather was freezing, and he heroically makes two trips down through Balcony Falls to save people. And he saved dozens of people and eventually lost his own life. That's a story that's a really poignant one. Any guide taking you through Balcony Falls tells you that to make you scared. You know, they're using it for one purpose, which is they want to scare you before you get to the falls. But it's also just a story that not enough people know about. And then I tell the story of Elizabeth Key, who, you know, a child of an enslaved mom and a plantation owner born in 1630 down in what's now Newport News, who wins a lawsuit at age six, establishing that this plantation owner was her father, and then wins another lawsuit when she's 30 to win her freedom from slavery. And this is a story that I never knew about, but I only learned about because where she lived was right along the James. And as I'm going down the James and kind of researching what went on at Jamestown, this was a court case that ended up being eventually tried before the General Assembly in Jamestown. Wow, all these stories, you know, and I think every place along the way has this human history to it. The freedmen's cabins, that the ruins of the freedmen's cabins along Brown Mountain Creek, south of Route 60, where the AT crosses over Route 60 on its way down to the James River, this beautiful little community of freed slaves who lived there in the aftermath of the Civil War in a very narrow hollow, and they built these stone homes. And then Lynchburg purchased the land to create a city reservoir, and they were all relocated. But the ruins of the homes are still there. Or, you know, from hiking in the Shenandoah National Park, people were relocated out of the park who lived up in the mountains. And you can still find this, you know, the graveyard that somebody is still lovingly tending 80 years after the families were relocated. There's so many stories. And that, in addition to the natural beauty, everywhere you go, it's like people have been here and what were they doing and why were they here? And then why did they leave? And then you think about the displacement and the anguish of the displacement, how hard it must have been for people to have to give up their homes. We enjoy these public spaces. We don't necessarily think about the fact that our enjoyment did come at the cost of people who this was their home and they had to leave it. And all that just adds layers of emotion to your time of exploring Virginia nature.
Yes, I feel like a lot of people go outside because they are looking for that connection with nature. But when we understand the history, it adds a whole nother layer of connection, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we can appreciate what it means to be a Virginian when we understand those stories. Did you know that you can become a member of Virginia Outdoor Adventures? For the same price as a cup of coffee once a month, you can receive a Virginia Outdoor Adventures membership while supporting the show. Members have access to the complete list of links and resources from each episode. Members also receive Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers and a shout out on the show. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting me. Hit pause on your podcast player, go to your show notes, and click on Buy Me a Coffee, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. My sincerest gratitude for the newest members of Virginia Outdoor Adventures: Kelly from Broadway, Jacob from Warsaw, Laura from Ocean Pines, Glenn and Susanna from Bent Mountain, Tim from Palmyra, Stacy from Lynchburg, Mary from Bristow, Kevin from Henrico, John from Alexandria, Angela from Williamsburg, and Karen from Martinsville. Thank you so much for your support.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that Virginians, I think, really appreciate the story of our tribal Virginians. I've worked very hard in the Senate with our tribes to get seven of our tribes federally recognized for the first time ever. Well, one of my stops along the James was at Rassawek, which was sort of like the headquarters village of the Monacan Nation, who lived in the west of Richmond along the James River. And they eventually were chased further west by the English up to Bear Mountain in Amherst County. But the Monacan had been working to try to save Rassawek. It was on the list of the most endangered places in the United States because it was going to be turned into like a water treatment facility by Fluvanna County and some of the other jurisdictions. When we were able to get the Monacan tribe federal recognition, they were able to use that recognition to successfully advocate for Rassawek to be saved. I pulled my canoe over on the River Left one day when I got to Rassawek near Columbia, Virginia, and met the tribal leadership. And we talked about the battle that was then not certain how it was going to go, but the battle to save Rassawek. And in the time since I finished the river journey, they reached an agreement about the water treatment facility. It's going to be somewhere else and Rassawek can be saved. This is not about yesterday. You know, these so much of our history is, it's some of it's about yesterday, but a lot of it's about today and tomorrow.
Yeah. And since we're talking about connections, one theme that you carry throughout your book is the importance of getting more people outside. You say that users of natural resources become stewards of natural resources. How important is the outdoor community in preserving our public lands and natural resources?
Jessica, that's a really good question. And it's so important. I mean, you know, I said earlier, I hope the one thing the reader might get is that nature is a unifier, but the other thing I hope readers get is, wow, we need to spend more time outdoors and encourage more people to do it, and particularly young people, because I think if young people develop the habit of enjoying being outdoors, again, I think about my Boy Scout troop or my parents or my shop teacher. If you develop the habit as a youngster, it will turn into a love affair and you'll do it your whole life. If you don't develop the habit as a youngster, maybe it will never catch with you. And then 20 years from now, you know, when people like me are long gone, who will be the stewards that will be battling to preserve wilderness areas or make sure that our parks get the funding that they need or that we don't defer maintenance but actually keep things up so that people can enjoy it? We really need stewards. And it starts with people being passionate. And that's where I think our outdoor community can be so helpful, because our outdoor community, you know, not only the trail maintainer clubs or the cycling clubs, but the shuttle drivers and the B&Bs that are near the trail that provide hospitality for hikers or cyclists. All of us are doing this because we love it, but we're also, we should think of ourselves as educators. And can we convert and get more people, you know, not just the same people I always, you know, go hiking with, but how can I encourage other people to do this? And I think that's a challenge that our outdoor community embraces, but we can never do too much of it.
There's a lot of funny stories throughout this book, personal stories. In the beginning, you talked about fear of embarrassment, but there was no embarrassment when you were very honest about all the mistakes that you made and the blunders that happened along the way. When we spoke 2 years ago, you shared how you earned your trail name Dog Bowl. Now, let's not say how you earned the trail name, because I think people should go back and listen to that episode, and I'll drop the link to it in the show notes here. But that's not the only funny name. Can you share where the name of your canoe came from?
Yes. So, I have a great trail named Dog Bowl. Go listen to the link and you'll get the story. But as Jessica, as you know, trail names on the AT are pretty common, but the key to it is you can't pick your trail name. It kind of has to be bestowed upon you. So it's not only what the trail name is, but how I got it, but my canoe. So I have a canoe, still use it, it's 40 years old now. Got it essentially as a wedding gift from my wife's parents. It's an old town camper. It's all beat up, but it's a great boat. In fact, people offered to buy it from me often along the river because Old Town doesn't make that particular model anymore. It's not really a whitewater boat. It is a boat to carry a lot of gear. And so for people who want to do what I did, carry a lot of gear and camp along the way, it's like perfect, but it didn't have a name. So, you know, I'm canoeing down the river and I'm having my friends canoe along with me. And a group of my Richmond buddies joined me on like day 14 or 15. And my canoe is really beat up. And they looked at me, and I'd been on the river at that point about 9 days and hadn't shaved. And I looked pretty scruffy. And this is a group of people that we hike a lot. And one of our favorite hikes is Old Rag. And so they looked at me in my canoe, and one of them said, the name of this boat should be Old Raggedy. And that was both the name of the boat, but that was what my friend John was using to refer to me. So Old Raggedy for an old town camper and an old guy in the boat, I just seemed like the perfect name.
Speaking of Old Rag, you talk about an election day tradition that you've had for a long time, and that is to vote early in the morning, then hike Old Rag, and then be back in time for the after party. And I just have to ask, what kind of warp speed were you moving at that you were able to vote, drive all the way out to Sperryville, hike Old Rag, and get back when the polls close?
You can, you know, if you vote at 6 a.m., this would be a pretty common tradition in the neighborhood. Vote at 6 a.m., gather at 7, drive out there, you know, maybe by 9:30 you're hiking. And then, you know, you're probably done. You take a lunch break on top, probably done about 3:30. And then you're back at 5:30. The polls close at 7. So you have a chance to shower, change clothes, and then be wherever the the victory party is. Sometimes that would be driving to Richmond. Other times it might be driving to Northern Virginia. Old Rag has been a tradition that way. The other hike that we often have done on Election Day is Crabtree Falls, which is sort of about the same thing. Drive out to Nelson County, you know, come up directly up the falls, get to that meadow that's about a mile past the falls, have lunch, come right back down, and then drive back in time. I usually don't do it in election years where I'm on the ballot because I have to tend to things and go around to shake hands of voters and stuff. But it's election days when I'm not on the ballot that this has become a tradition that we really, really enjoy.
Those are both really great hikes, but I don't know that I'd be able to keep up with you. So don't invite me on those. Okay, so let's close with a passage from your book. Is it okay if I read a passage that you wrote?
I'd love to hear you read it.
Okay, so this is near the end of the book, and here you say, "If I were to summarize the journey itself, the word humbling would not be the first to enter my mind, but grounding would be. And being more grounded is well worth the 1,200 plus miles exploring Virginia by foot, bike, and canoe over the last 3 years. I believe I will need that grounding in the years ahead." What do you hope the Virginia Nature Triathlon will mean to other Virginians?
Grounding, you know, we can all be more grounded. You know, I use this too much. You know, I'm stuck in my screen and my phone too much. And sometimes it's to the detriment of interaction with people. Instead of, you know, looking them in the eye and listening to them, I'll be at a Senate hearing and I'll be, instead of listening to the witness, kind of looking at my phone. And I think grounding means both being connected to people, but it also means being connected to the earth. I think, you know, and I think in COVID, a lot of people really embrace this notion that being outdoors is so therapeutic. It's not just healthy to be outdoors walking, hiking, it's mentally healthy because being outdoors and realizing your place in the universe, realizing the beauty of God's creation, listening to bird songs, hearing leaves as they fall through other leaves, you know, during the fall, hearing the sound your foot makes on a trail. There's just so much out there and we rush by it. And so what I hope the Virginia Nature Triathlon or my book might do is it may ground us more in terms of our interactions with each other, but also connect us more to the earth and make us thankful. I mean, man, I could live anywhere. I could live anywhere, but I'm not sure I could live anywhere that is as special as Virginia.
Senator, thank you so much for your time today. Where can listeners find your new book, Walk, Ride, Paddle, A Life Outside?
You can find it at walkridepaddle.com, and you'll find information about the book. You'll find information about the Virginia Nature Triathlon map. And there's also a number of events on the book tour. The book launched last week, but there's a number of events coming up all around Virginia or in the DC area where I'm going to be talking about the book. And maybe you'll see one that will make you want to come. And all that information is at walkridepaddle.com.
Perfect. I will drop a link to that in the show notes so people can get to that site easily. Senator, thank you again. I hope my listeners all grab your brand new book, Walk, Ride, Paddle, A Life Outside. And I hope they find it as inspirational as I did.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Great to talk today.
Adventure on. Links and resources from this episode are in the show notes of your listening app and on the website at virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you enjoyed the show, help spread the word by sharing your favorite episode with friends or on social media. Leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts also helps new listeners discover the show. Get news and information about outdoor adventures close to home by signing up for my newsletter. Click on Newsletter Sign Up in your show notes or visit virginiaoutdooradventures.com. I love hearing from my listeners. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook or email me at jessica@virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, adventure on.